In the fifth parak, Mishnah Bet, we continue to discuss and examine what makes a vineyard, or what are the ramifications of how you plant a vineyard. In the previous Mishnah, we looked at a kerem shecharav, right, a destroyed vineyard, and a kerem dal, right, poor vineyard. Our Mishnah is now going to look at an overplanted vineyard. So Mishnah Bet starts, kerem shehu natua al pachot pachot me'arba amos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eno Kerem, V'chamimrim Kerem, V'ro'in es hamsayot ki ilu einan. So our Mishnah says that if you have a vineyard which is planted less than Dalad Amos apart, if you have the vines planted less than Dalad Amos apart, then Rabbi Shimon says it's not even considered a vineyard, or it's Eno Kerem, but the Chamim say that it is considered a vineyard, and we just ignore it's as if we ignore the overplanted vines in the middle. The Rambam suggests that the reason for this is because once you plant vines so close together, they're incapable of growing appropriately, so that it's not anything anybody ever plant, that's not a way anybody would normally plant a vineyard. However, the Chachamim say that you do consider it a vineyard, and Rosh explains that this is because they basically feel like someone's going to plant a lot of vines one on top of the other, and the vines that survive is going to make the vineyard, and the vines that don't survive they can basically use as firewood. So that's why the Chachamim say that you do consider it a vineyard. And of course the reason why this is relevant is because it has an impact on how close one can plant other things to these vines, right? As we saw in all our previous Mishnayos, the idea of how close you need to, how much space you need to leave between a vineyard and other types of grains. So depending on the position, Rabbi Shimon says that if you have an overplanted vineyard, it is not a vineyard at all, because it's not how one would plant a vineyard. And the Chachamim say it is as if you have a vineyard, because people do it that way intentionally, with the vines that survive being the vineyard, and the vines that don't survive they can burn as firewood. In Mishnah Gimel Perakeh, our Mishnah now jumps back to a discussion about what one can plant, or how one can plant certain other types of grains or plants in a vineyard, or what circumstances one can plant other types of grains in a vineyard, assuming that we are in fact dealing with the vineyard. So the Mishnah starts in Gimel, Charit shehu over bakerem amok asara barachav arba'a. So if you have a ditch that runs through the vineyard, and it's 10 deep and 4 wide, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Im haya mefulash min rosh hakerem ad sofo, harei ze nirei kebein shnei kramim. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that if it goes from one end of the vineyard to the other, and remember we saw this idea earlier with the previous Mishnah, the idea of separating it. So if you have a ditch which is 10 deep and 4 wide, then Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says that if it goes from end to end, then you can plant there because it looks like two separate vineyards. Vizarim betocho, right? You can plant inside this ditch because it is as if you're planting between two separate vineyards. V'imlav harehu kigat. But if not, if the ditch is not wide enough or deep enough, or does not stretch all the way from one end of the vineyard to the other, then it has the status of a wine press. And as we'll see in a second, a wine press is not considered a break in a vineyard. As our Mishnah continues, v'hagat shebakerem Amuka asara v'rachov arba'a, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, zro'im b'tocho. If you have a wine press in a vineyard which is in fact 10 deep and 4 wide, Rabbi Eliezer says you are allowed to plant inside this wine press. V'chamim osrim, but the chamim say that it's asr. The Mishnah Rishonah lets us know, or explains to us, that a wine press was basically a large pit that was dug on the side of a vineyard. And this is where all the grapes were pressed and the wine collected. And it was always on the edge of a vineyard, therefore it was only surrounded on three sides by vines. Okay, so if you picture a square with another, or a rectangle, it doesn't really matter, I suppose, with a little square on the edge of it, so then the vines are surrounding the wine press on three sides and not four. And therefore, Eliezer feels that as long as the wine press is deep enough, it counts as its own domain for planting planting some kind of foreign seed. But the Chachamim disagree and say that in this situation, you still are not allowed to plant foreign seed in there. The Mishnah continues, Shomra Shebakerem, Gavoha sarav rachav arba zorim betocha v'im haya se'ar kotesh asur. If you have a lookout post, or a lookout hill, lookout mound in the vineyard, which is 10 high and 4 wide, then you're allowed to plant on top of it. But if there are branches intertwined, I guess if there are, grapevines intertwined above it, then it's usur. So it used to be that you'd have probably somewhere in the middle of the vineyard, although it doesn't have to be in the middle of the vineyard, you'd have a, you know, sort of a tall mound of dirt, which would allow shomer, somebody guarding the vineyard, to have a good view of the entire vineyard. And assuming that you are able to, you know, assuming this meets the minimum required height, then you are allowed to plant a foreign grain on top of the lookout, you know, on top of the sort of lookout mound. And both the Chamim and Rabbi Elazar agree to this, because for all intents and purposes, it becomes its own separate domain. However, the Mishnah comes to clarify, and we saw versions of this in previous Mishnayos, that if for whatever reason the grapevines, let's say, are growing very, very high, and they intertwine over the lookout mound, then at that stage you are not going to be allowed to plant on top of the lookout.